This is Jared Dantzler for KBOO News. I'm here speaking with Karen McMahon and Mariah Heddens of the Immigrant Law Group here in Portland, Oregon. Welcome, Karen and Mariah.
Thank you.
Thanks for hosting this.
First, I want to start off by asking you to, could you talk about what's being called family residential centers? There's a new one in Dili that's slated to be the largest in the nation with 2,400 beds. What's happening down there where children and mothers seeking asylum are detained in facilities like this one?
As of last summer, June of last summer, the administration changed its policy on detaining families and set up a temporary detention center in New Mexico. And that center has since closed, and two permanent detention centers have been opened, both in Texas. Both of them are privately owned, and the one in Dili is owned by Corrections Corporation of America. And so they are housing, like you said, women and children who have come from Central America, and they are specifically seeking asylum. So they are being detained while they fight their cases.
And I think something really important to recognize in this conversation is that while the government's calling these family residential centers, they're nothing short of detention facilities, and the conditions are pretty horrific and, you know, far from what we would envision when we use the residential and family.
What are some of the abuses that are being found in these facilities? How are they not meeting federal law in the way that they're housing individuals and families?
So the grievances are multi-level. In terms of legal grievances, there are due process violations occurring probably on a daily basis, if not case-by-case basis. One of the issues that the mothers are having the most difficulty with in Dili is still just getting access to legal counsel. There's a fairly well-sustained volunteer legal project operating there. Karen and I both were there for a week in April, and it's, you know, legally they have access to, they're supposed to have access to counsel, to legal services, and I think there's a pretty intentional barrier between the legal service providers and the mothers and children.
In addition to that, we hear complaints of inefficient medical care. There are women there who are on a psychological watch list because their psychological health is so bad that they are being watched very carefully. Legally, in order to detain children, a lot of different standards need to be met to make the detention the least hostile that it can be, and those standards are not being met. And those standards, they vary. They range from anything from having plants and having plush toys that the kids can play with to having access to psychological medical care and free time to roam around.
Another big problem is that a lot of these mothers and children are coming from indigenous communities where they don't speak English and they don't speak Spanish. And a lot of the women are being held for really extended periods of time because they're not getting access to indigenous language interpreters. The government is making a very low priority to find the correct regional interpretation, let alone in some instances even the indigenous language that the mother speaks.
You mentioned the lack of legal counsel being provided to the mothers and children. There's a new national class action lawsuit that was filed in Seattle, Washington by the ACLU, the American Immigration Council, Northwest Immigration Rights Project, and others. JEFM versus Holder challenges the federal government's failure to provide legal representation to children in deportation hearings. Why are children showing up in court without legal representation?
That's the question we want to throw at Obama. I mean, I think that on so many levels, that's the question that legal service providers, mental health counselors, concerned citizens, we're asking that question.
Mm. DACA is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It helps students ages 18 to 32, but is apparently not doing as much to help families. How does DACA play into the family situation of immigrants seeking asylum? And how do these individuals actually seek asylum, if they're detained or not?
So for most of the people who are detained in these family residential centers, DACA isn't an option. Even if they meet the age requirement, there's a requirement that folks applying for DACA have been in the United States for several years. And the people who are being detained currently have all arrived mostly within the last year or in 2014. So they are not eligible for DACA, no matter their ages. In terms of applying for asylum while they're detained, that is why there are coordinated legal efforts to have attorneys on site all the time. But applying for asylum is generally a process that takes hundreds of hours. It requires expert testimony for a lot of clients, and it is a very complex legal argument that must be made. And so it's very, very difficult for women and children who are not represented or who only have limited representation to fight for asylum while they're detained.
Mm-hmm. It's also a challenge for some of the mothers and children who are currently in detention to either defend what would be called a negative, credible, or reasonable fear finding. And so that would be sort of the initial phase of this process. They'll have an interview with an asylum officer. And that interview, you know, concerns matters in fear of returning to their home country. If there's a negative finding in that, they do have right to a review by the immigration judge. But without representation, that is a very difficult battle to fight. It's a difficult win. And a lot of these asylum officers don't have, honestly, the cultural competency to ask the right questions. The sensitivity and understanding that the trauma that some of these mothers and children have been through is so multi-layered that getting to the root of their fear, getting to the, you know, something that the government is going to recognize as a viable asylum claim, they don't put the time and energy into that. And so the importance of representation is really from the very beginning in order to defend their rights.
And right now there are some pro bono lawyers from around the country, law students from Columbia, Yale, Lewis and Clark Law School, and activists from Portland-based Enlace down there at Dilley rallying against the Dilley Southwest Family Residential Center. And I wanted to ask, United States immigration spends something like $2 billion a year, $159 per day per person detaining these immigrant individuals. What about alternatives to detention? Spending a fraction of the cost to provide ankle bracelets, or letting, you know, people sort of live with their families until they were to, as they await immigration court hearings. Can y'all talk about that at all?
Yeah, so as you said, there are lots of alternatives to detention. The folks who are being housed in the Dilley Detention Center, our government is paying the Corrections Corporation of America $349 per person per night. And as you said, alternatives can be either free or cost just pennies per day. Those are the alternatives that advocates are fighting for. They are much more humane, definitely less cost to taxpayers. And ultimately, they allow the access to counsel that these mothers and children deserve under U.S. and international law.
I've been speaking with Karen McMahon and Mariah Heddens from the Immigrant Law Group. I want to thank you both for your time and speaking with me today.
Thank you. This is such an important issue.
Yeah, we really appreciate you and KABU taking the efforts to, you know, spread the education to the Portland community and hopefully beyond, because we think that with more public awareness around this issue, you know, we as a U.S. community can really push Obama to change his policies and shut these family detention centers down.
You're listening to KABU Community Radio, and you've been listening to an interview with the Immigration Law Center about the detention facilities in Texas and the fact that taxpayers are paying close to $500 when you add it up every night to put these immigrant families in a horrible detention facility. And instead of spending that money in a maybe more productive
humane
way. If you've got an extra $500 a night, maybe you could contribute that to KBOO Community Radio and turn that around. If you happen to be somebody who's done well in the economic situation, maybe you've sold a house, maybe you've cashed in on your retirement benefits or your stock market investments, and you've decided to divest and turn that around and invest in your community. Maybe you could give a $1,500 or $2,000 or $5,000 contribution to KBOO and be a major donor. Or maybe you're somebody who could do a $50 contribution. Everyone who gives gets a vote in the KBOO Board of Directors and our democratic structure here, and you're an owner of this radio station. An equal owner, a $50 donor and a $5,000 donor are both equal in the KBOO democracy. It's not like the so-called American democracy in which the bigger money gets you more. So here at KBOO, we are a true democracy. We are really democracy in action, and you could be a part of it. So call us, support this station, support the evening news, get a thank you gift. We've got a number of thank you gifts. We just gave away a KBOO mug. You can see a picture on our website of that. And we've got t-shirts. We've got Yes Magazine for a $60 pledge. You get a subscription to a Journal of Positive Futures. We got a lot of thank you gifts that we can give you. The real thank you is your community radio station. Again, the number 877-500-5266.
It's important that we do hear from you right now. We have just $20, $20 to go over the top of our goal for the evening news, helping us inch away towards that $95,000 goal for our spring membership drive, and we can get there with your support. It is so important that we hear from you and that you continue to support independent news journalism, independent community radio, that you support KBOO. I mean, it is actually vital information that we provide to the communities, and this most recent in-depth story about the immigration situation and the detention centers, this is really critical to human rights and to people that know human rights are important. And in fact, we need to treat people better and humanely. We need justice in our society. And right now, the action that you can take to actually help the situation, to make sure that this information is spread so that people can take right action and do something about it to make the world a better place, you can pick up your phone right now and just give. 877-500-5266. $40 for an annual membership, or $10 a month, which is easier for me to do than $40 all at once. And that adds up to $120 by the time the year is out, and I'm doing it the easy $10 a month way. Actually, I'm giving $20 a month because I wanted to get a KBOO hoodie. Perhaps you would like
too
to get a KBOO hoodie. So Jenk and I are actually giving more than an hour's wage every month because we wanted to be fashionable and promote KBOO with our very nice hoodies.
And it's really not that hard.
It's,
you know,
not.
I was $20 giving 10
a month is easy.
And now it's 20, and it you know, it's really not too much. You know, it comes out about the 7th of every month, and you just look at your bank statement and you see that KBOO statement in there amidst all of the other things that you might not be as proud of. And then you see that and you say, oh, I've done it. I've done something for my community again this month. I'm contributing. I'm completing the circle and making this thing happen every month here at KBOO. You can see that and be proud. 877-500-KBOO. When you think about the evening news and all of the pieces that come together to make this happen, you heard about the Texas Family Detention Centers. Here you heard about the Columbia Generating Station and this crack that was uncovered that the anti-nuclear activists are trying to keep that offline. Nobody else is reporting on that. In fact, Columbia Generating Station spokesperson tried to call us and quash that story, and we brought it to you anyway because
we're feisty.
And we don't actually care that much what the nuclear industry wants us to do. We will actually give you the information that they may not want you to have, because that is on the Columbia River, and it's important for people to know what's going on
and
up there.
And that's why it's absolutely critical that you pick up your phone and dial 877 877- 500-5266. We are looking for that last $20 to put us over the top for the evening news program.
Oh my gosh, we're so close. 1 minute.
So very close. Right now, won't you be that person just calling with your $60 contribution for your family, for your household? Go ahead, give us a call right now and say yes to your community radio station. Help us reach that goal for the news hour. We are within
spitting distance. All we need is
$20. 877-500-5266 or online KBOO.com.
You know what? Make it $20 a month, and then you get the hoodie. We're going to send it to you. It is rad. There's a picture of it on our website. If you go to KBOO.FM and you click on where it says click to see the thank you gifts, then you can see that hoodie. And as Mike Crenshaw said, you can look dope even whatever you're doing right wearing this hoodie. I mean, it's a really nice one. You wear it out to your protest. You wear it around town. Wear it to work and show your friends. Say, look, I'm a KBOO supporter.
It still looks pretty good, even covered in white cat hair. I can attest. 877-500-5266 or online KBOO.FM. It is time now to make way for Out Loud, but we do want to hear from you.
Oh, come on, $20.
One more call. Puts us over the top. You can do it. The next person to become a KBOO member or renew their membership will meet our goal for the evening news. Keep that call coming in. Right now, I feel it. 877-500-5266.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Storefront Review, produced by the Triangle Theater from May 7th through the 30th at the Sanctuary at 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Storefront was a thriving theater company in Portland, which closed in 1991. Triangle Theater is bringing back some of the burlesque acts and performances from this bygone era. Again, that's the Storefront Review, produced by the Triangle Theater from May 7th through the 30th at the Sanctuary at 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard.